This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Friday, the 12th of April, just after 12 o'clock. I'm in with the terrible twosome of...
Audrey Raj.
And Vinny Raj.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer is what they say. Mm-hmm. And the reason we are doing this today, we are talking about from throne room to boardroom, of course, coming up over the weekend, is the eighth and final season of Game of Thrones. We are asking you guys at home, what are some of the best business lessons that you have learned from TV, from movies, from books? And of course, we are basing quite a bit of this today on previous Game of Thrones episodes. So if you have not seen season one, or if you have not seen parts of season seven, I am warning you now, there may well be spoilers ahead. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, Audrey's story a little bit later on in the show is all about how to avoid spoilers.
So you want to stay tuned for that.
I'm spoiling your spoiler story. And then a little bit later on in the show, story number three is all about Disney Plus and their launch date, their price tag, and a list of shows all coming up. So if you'd like to get in touch with the show and tell us lessons you've learned, business lessons that you've learned from the world of entertainment, from books, let us know, 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter or on Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. We've had a whole bunch of tweets already. So let's look at this article, and this article was really interesting. So of all of the cliffhangers from Game of Thrones, season 7 offers the most compelling. What will happen now that the wall has been destroyed? The dead dragon and the Night King. See, I feel bad talking about these things.
Because I'm like, for someone who just tuned in.
What if they've just tuned in and they've missed a point where I've gone, hey, spoilers ahead. Yeah, I'm going to say it again, spoilers ahead. So there's a few things that we can learn from this, or rather businesses can learn from this. The other day we were talking about lessons you can learn from the Titanic, right? Mm-hmm. So you got spotters who were supposed to be spotting out for icebergs who did not have binoculars,
you know?
Because the guy who was supposed to give them the key to the lockers where the binoculars were kept was transferred onto a different boat the day before on leave and forgot to give the key to the lockers to the people... You know, just little things like that.
But also they could have broke down that cabinet, you know, and...
They could have done,
they
right?
They could have, but then, you know, it's an unsinkable ship.
It's allegedly, it was an unsinkable ship, of course, which led to good advertising in the way that it sold a bunch of tickets.
Yeah.
But back to Game of Thrones. Right, so things that you can learn, of course. Number one, all change needs urgency. The status quo is simply too strong to be overturned without it. The pending winter shifted from a stark motto to an institutionalized reality the moment that the Citadel, Westeros' scientific order, proclaimed winter was no longer coming. Winter is here. Until that point, the belief in and preparation for changing season was only coming from the northerners that felt the effects of rage from the wildlings, groups that lived north of the wall and closest to the threat of the Army of the Dead, as we already know. Next, people need to see and feel to accept change and buy into it. Did Jon Snow need to experience the massacre of Hardhome, where the Night King raised thousands of slain free-folk to join the Army of Dead, before his eyes to fully realize the enormity of the Dead Army's impact? Did he?
He did.
Yeah,
did
kind
he?
Of.
He did. Did he kind of. That? Kind of.
So you need to see your company crumbling around you before you go, you know what, maybe we should do something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what you need to see.
So that we don't end up like them.
Right, okay. Mm. The messenger must be credible. The easiest way to destroy credibility is to be or appear self-interested. Messengers bringing the need for change have to be motivated by a higher purpose than by their own agenda. Think of John, who isn't motivated by politics or power, rather by unfailing loyalty, integrity, and honor. When Dany and Cersei are negotiating a truce so Dany can fight the Great War in the North, Jon won't lie to Cersei about his allegiance to Dany, and it upsets both Lord Tyrion and Dany. Have you ever considered learning how to lie every now and then? Just a bit.
Yeah, I remember that line.
Listen to the little people. And by little people, I don't mean little people. I mean the people who are not necessarily in management. I'm talking about the people who are, you know, at the bottom of the chain of employees sometimes. Sometimes
the staff that are closest to the problem. Yeah,
correct. Mm-hmm. They have the best advice. Change needs to be tied to a higher unifying purpose. So to influence diverse and often divergent stakeholders, the reason for change needs to trump individual wish lists, suspend organizational policies, priorities and inoculate competing departmental or business unit priorities. It needs to be tied to a North Star that speaks to us all at all levels, all ranks, and in doing so, unifies rather than divides, right? Mm.
So I was just telling Arvind before we came on air that that is the exact reason why we have a new government today in Malaysia.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Exactly that.
Yeah.
Now, of course, not just those few there. We've all got our own set of lessons that we've learned from businesses, from entertainment, and one thing or another. Also, I've kind of been reaching out to people who I've said to them, okay, so Game of Thrones, what business lessons can you take from that? Always pay your debts, of course, is something that we'll come to a little bit later on, because you will at some point have to take out a loan, which is another thing. You know, you've got to be aware of these little loan sharks and be aware that you can pay your debts and you have to pay your debts. Otherwise, somebody will be coming for you.
What is the name of that bank in Game of Thrones?
The dodgy demon bank. I don't remember.
The bank of Braavos.
Yes. Ooh, those ones. Yeah. Mm. And I think it's because the Lannisters always pay their debt. Mm. They are not sort of like, they don't owe the Iron Bank anything.
And they have a bit more power over the Iron Bank, don't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Braavosis.
Yes.
Right. That's where we are. We will be continuing this conversation in just a couple of minutes into the next talk set as well. So don't go anywhere. Send us your messages. What have you learned from Game of Thrones, from other TV shows, from other movies? We're very keen. We'll also be looking at some of the business practices, not just within the movies, but around the franchises, perhaps, of some of these TV shows and movies. Star Wars, for example, is something that springs to mind, how they changed retail forever because of what they did with figurines and merchandising and one thing or another. Interesting stuff. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury with
Audrey Raj.
Arvind Braj.
We are talking about lessons that you can, business lessons that you can learn from entertainment, from books. It's Friday. Specifically, from Game of Thrones, we have been taking lessons from. We've had so far, always pay your debts. Winter is coming. Now winter is here. You know nothing. But we have a great clip. Producer Christine managed to throw this together this morning. This is what we've got. Have a listen.
The man who passes the sentence should swing the sword.
When the snows fall and the white winds blow, the lone wolf dies, but the pack survives.
The Lannister always pays his debts.
Fire cannot kill a dragon.
A lion doesn't concern himself with the opinions of a sheep.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die.
Da-da! Good work, Chris. Well, thank you very much.
The goosebumps in that clip.
So, favourite clip out of that, Ords?
The lone wolf dies, but the pack survives.
Yes.
Yeah, same. Have to be same. I mean, the Night King doesn't speak. If he did, then I would pick that as my favourite clip. But he doesn't say anything. Yeah.
He points his finger or something.
He has like a come at me bro kind of moment.
He does. Okay.
So that one.
Anything else? Your takeaways, personal takeaways from Game of Thrones?
From Game of Thrones, I guess for me, like I mentioned earlier, the pack survives. You know, you're always stronger as a team, you know. There was also I think when Daenerys was talking to, what's her name?
Oh, that's helpful.
Her aide.
What's her name? Yeah.
Her aide.
Oh, I can't remember her name now. What am I doing? I only have three
sleeps.
We need
to recap. Yeah,
we need
to
recap quick.
Spoilers cannot.
But she was talking about breaking the wheel. Miri. Yeah, and she was talking about breaking the wheel, right? So those who believe there is only one way of doing something will be the first to be left behind. You know, there's always something you can do. Sometimes you just have to break the wheel. And my personal favorite, I think a big lesson on leadership, courtesy of Ned Stark, that, you know, a leader can't survive on heroism and honor alone. Lasting leadership requires compromise in principles and morals for the greater good. Because, you know, maybe if he wasn't so filled with his principles and honor, you know, he may not have been, you know, what happened to him in season one.
But
I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't watched it.
Then that counters what Tyrion said. You know, when he says, have you ever considered learning how to lie every now and then, just a bit?
No,
and then Jon says, words have to mean something. Or there are no more answers, only better and better lies.
You sound more like Grandmaster Parcell than you do Jon Snow.
You sound like one of them.
Anyway, that's where we are. Over to Twitter. What have we got over there?
Yeah, on Twitter we have Harris, who says that Game of Thrones merchandise always sells. I guess that's a good business lesson. We have one from Gwen, who says, trust no one.
Yes.
Jonathan says, get a hand.
Yes.
We have one from Mia.
I said that to you earlier today, didn't
yeah,
I? I said every business has a little finger. And by that, I mean somebody who kind of, you know, whispers
That is the complete opposite of getting a hand.
I think this is about Jamie Lannister.
I think this is about the hand of the king
or the hand of the queen, you know, get someone, you know, to delegate the big stuff.
So many layers, and
have like an advisory panel, basically.
A producer, perhaps.
Yes.
Twitter.
Luca Heng says, every flight begins with a fall. I hope not actual flights, because then that wouldn't work. But metaphorically speaking,
Okay.
Should I get more?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Arvin Gunasegran says, chaos isn't a pit, it's a ladder.
Ooh. Yes, good one, yes.
Yeah, Mona says, a desk is a dangerous place from which to view the world.
Mm-hmm.
Zane says, history tends to repeat itself. And Kirin says, a Lannister always pays his debts.
Over to Insta Story, Amira Shafi says, identify allies and sustainable partnerships like Stark and Daenerys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't Lady Stark also say, you may survive us yet?
Did she?
Was it Tyrion?
Somebody.
Tyrion? Yeah.
Can you say it like him?
No. You can do it like him.
You may survive as yet. No. Cannot see?
No.
Can't do it. Folks, lessons that we have learned, or you have learned, from the world of entertainment, from books, from whatever, let us know. 0187-89-899 is the number to get us via WhatsApp and, of course, on Twitter and on InstaStory. Just to kind of move out of the world of Westeros for a moment and go to a place in time, you know, far, far away, a long time ago, far, far away. Let's very quickly talk about business lessons from Star Wars.
Okay.
All right. But when I mean Star Wars, I mean the franchise of Star Wars. I don't mean the actual movie, unless we're talking about how Han shot first, clearly. What I want to talk about is the way in which they changed the way a movie didn't just sell as a movie after Star Wars. It became something entirely different. It became a franchise, you know. They went out, and of course, George Lucas was very smart in what he did. He was like, I'm creating this entire universe where we will sell not only the movie, there will be bedding, there will be wallpaper, there will be figurines, there will be comic books, there will be this. And that's how he managed to pitch the idea of Star Wars, which at the point of script being developed, for most people was like, what on earth is this? You know, but he had this whole idea of what was going to happen. And of course, look at it now. It's this enormous behemoth that is everywhere and anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, he's always focused on merchandise. And that's why he made the prequels. I mean, he didn't want to make episode 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
But there was potential to have more merchandise and sell more action figures. And that's the only reason he did it. Not the only reason. That's one of the biggest reasons why he did it. Because it would sort of... It has so much more returns for, you know, Skywalker Ranch and stuff compared to the actual movies themselves. And Star Wars is, I think, what? It's like, not now, not anymore, not after the MCU and the Marvel Cinematic Universe and stuff, but it used to be the biggest like franchise in the world.
Yeah.
And nothing could sell more merchandise than Star Wars.
There you go. And, you know, speaking of the MCU, I think it was the president of Marvel Studios, Kevin Feige. Is that how
Feige?
Feige. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's how you pronounce his name, right? He said that with the MCU, they never actually set out to build a universe. They wanted to make an Iron Man movie. They wanted to make a Hulk movie. They wanted to make a Thor movie. But then they thought, if you're going to do this, let's do it better than we can, you know, the best we can. And so they decided to put them all together. And that's how the whole MCU came about, right? So it's like, I guess the lesson there is focus on making the best product you possibly can. Some other lessons from the MCU is, you know, don't be afraid to throw things out and start over. Like, we know what happened to that first Hulk movie, right? It's just kind of...
let's not talk about that.
Yeah, there you go, you know? But they just put that aside and they just went on, you know, at it. They just started afresh. And also to kind of bring in trusted collaborators and let them run with their vision. So I think we could all tell that just before Infinity War, movies like Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther had a different feel to them, it was just because that they went a different way. They gave it to Taika Waititi and Ryan Coogler and empowered them to kind of like build this new universe around Thor and around Black Panther, right?
Right.
And then that kind of took off to, and it was a critically acclaimed success and also, you know, commercially a huge success, both those movies. So
In terms of MCU, how much of a mentor do you think that Stan Lee was when it came to help develop the MCU?
None. I think he had like maybe 5% input. I think because he was like executive producer on all these movies. He made the universe, him and Jack Kirby and stuff, but I think they based the movies off the comics that he had already done. I don't think he had any creative input. I don't think he gave them ideas.
Because going back to mentoring and back to the Star Wars world, we can have, you know, find the right mentor.
And also,
not Palpatine.
Yeah. No. Also, going back to the MCU, I think don't underestimate the kind of reserves that you have, because all of these heroes that they have now, we're moving towards like Endgame and stuff, probably the biggest movie ever made.
Really?
Yeah.
In Arvin's mind.
No. I mean,
yeah, but also,
overall, all these characters in this movie are all B or C grade characters.
Right.
They aren't like, you know, it wasn't like the X-Men or Spider-Man before. You have like reserves of B and C grade heroes who they turn into like top notch, top tier,
right.
A level stars.
True.
Hawkeye, yeah. Black Widow,
yeah.
Ant-Man.
Even Iron Man.
There you go.
I mean, Thor.
Hawkeye is still not top level superhero, is he, surely?
Not yet.
But I know we're getting a bit personal, but can we tell the story about Arvin's booking of movies for like...
You mean the only person in this room who's going to watch Endgame at 7 a.m.
Yes.
On Wednesday?
Yes!
Yeah, who's actually taken leave and won't be on BizBytes because he'll be watching Endgame.
How many times will you be watching it on Wednesday?
On opening day?
Yes.
None.
Liar.
I don't have tickets.
Yes,
we're talking about the Infinity
something or
Zone?
Other. That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Four tickets, people.
Oh my word!
Anyway, on premiere day. Okay.
Also, one more thing about
see
the.
See how excited
since,
he is.
Since we're on the topic of the MCU, keeping consumers like intrigued and keeping them glued to your franchise with all these, like, you know, their post credit scene. Have you seen people getting up
after
the movies? Yeah, they have created like a trend where even if you're not watching something from the MCU, people still sit in the cinemas.
Very good point.
Yeah, it can be like a documentary, and they're like, "What's going to pop up at the end? Is the lion going to come back to life?"
No, he's not.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take a short break. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, our topic of the day, throne room to boardroom, what are some of the lessons that you have learned from the world of entertainment, from TVs, from movies, from books, from comics, graphic novels? What have you learned? Let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, on WhatsApp, on Twitter, and on Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. This is all because, of course, launching on Sunday in the US, Monday, very early Monday morning, of course, final season of Game of Thrones hits our shores. Send us your messages. We're going to take a break. Music coming up. Santana, Evil Ways here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.